If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hola, Fightful Faithful. Bienvenidos.
Already.
Bienvenidos. It's the Sour Graps review. We do these usually for NXT, and because there was an NXT title contested on the show, the only WWE title contested on this show, it fell to us because Sean didn't want to do it. So we are doing the review here of WWE and AAA. Worlds Collide.
To our high flying Sour Graps Folk Show.
We've never flown so high.
If you see the way that Alex is built and the way that I'm built, you know that we are high flyers. So
we are high flyers.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. I do, in fact, have access to that. But FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the biz. Scoops for you on all PLEs and pay-per-views, pretty much. So a good time to be subscribed there. A good time to hang out in the Discord and just watch wrestling with normal wrestling fans. But I'm excited for our high-flying review, Alex. Are you excited for our high-flying review?
My review has, we are literally in the troposphere. We are way up. There's no air up here. That's how high we are flying. Oh no, you got a nosebleed.
I got a nosebleed. Yeah.
You got a nosebleed because you're so high up.
How high we are.
Because we're flying so high.
I am, of course, referencing how WWE calls everybody high flyers, including in the bio of Delis, I believe was the pronunciation Delis, of her name. Who is not that? But we're just fun. And today's show, I thought was actually a whole bunch of fun. I felt like it didn't try to outkick the coverage of what it was meant to be. But I asked you, Alex, before we went on air, did you just feel like you didn't even know what we were doing without a bunch of ads and commercial breaks in this? Because I'm watching this on YouTube. I was like, how do I even know if those top ropes are really top ropes if they're not even sponsored by someone? You know what I mean? Like, how, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just watch this wonderful wrestling show?
If there isn't a hydration station at ringside, how will I be sure that the wrestlers are getting enough to drink?
It was so distracting.
I don't know. Like what products should I be Googling during the show? I need the ring mat to tell me what products and or services I should be Googling during the show. And they didn't have that. So instead, I had to watch really good wrestling.
Just watch it? Like, I had just to, straight like, up watch great wrestling.
I had to focus entirely on really fun to watch wrestling. Please think of the hydration.
What kind of table was it? Did they snap into it? These are the questions that we
are. If there's not a spiced meat product associated with your table, then I don't even know if it's a real table.
I don't. So, sincerely, some things before we get into the actual review. One thing that I always love is noticing crowd reactions in different countries than America. And of course, whenever like WWE proper goes to Europe, you get these insane chants and stuff. But like, what I mean is more like what we got tonight in seeing what crowds react to. If you watch Japanese wrestling, like a lot of people were so confused because when Mercedes Moné debuted in Japan, there wasn't like an insane reaction. And it's like, that's just not how wrestling crowds function over there, especially coming out of the COVID era at that time. They were really strict on no cheering and stuff. Today, what I took away from it was like, they didn't really care about any of the vignettes that played. They were very much in the camp of their own AAA talent, which I thought was cool.
Right.
But it was funny because like Liv and Dom didn't get a huge reaction when they got shown. Like they root for different things than an American crowd generally does when consuming a WWE product. And I really, really liked that about this. I don't want to dog on anyone too much because it seemed like there was certainly a lot of this going around, but Conan's lack of enthusiasm for his own product was distractingly.
I don't think it's a lack of enthusiasm for the product. I just think that's who he is. I think Conan has somehow over the intervening years since I last watched him often, 11 years ago or so with 9 years ago with Lucha Underground. In the intervening decade, he's become the abuelo who just won't stop droning on to himself. I want to tell you a story about Angel Garza. You know, his father and grandfather were both very important wrestlers. Double thing from the top rope! So Angel Garza, one time I actually introduced him to, and it just, I didn't understand, like, he's the best thing that they got to, like, be this color commentary for this. And I think first order of business, find another guy to be the color commentator for the next one of these, because he kept just dropping all of the excitement. Corey Graves, by the way, this is the audition tape for Corey Graves to be a play-by-play dude from now on.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, he's wasted as the other guy on the NXT desk. He was doing fantastic work as the play-by-play guy. And all of a sudden, you just gave, can I say something? I just wanted to say. And he would just, it's just, Conan would be just in this crazy, what about a breathtaking moonsault to the outside by Angel Garza? You know, his uncle made that move famous. Like, I mean, he was pulling both guys' weight, like, during this whole thing. And I just feel like some guys aren't cut out to have that kind of, like, larger than life reaction to stuff. He would occasionally, he'd be like, he would modulate his voice a little bit, but occasionally he was like, that is a double German suplex. And I'm like, yes, that is the, like, I don't know, man. So we got to figure out a way to help Conan get his energy up. Maybe that's it. He needs some of that prime energy drink. If he had that.
The lack then of sponsorship.
The energy would be through the roof, and I think we'd all have problems, you know?
I do want to say this was one of my favorite Corey Graves commentary showings ever, and I also don't want to pick on Conan too much because, like, there's a lot of things that also come into play on this. Like, somebody, maybe WWE was in his ear the whole time, and that's really distracting, right? And there's a certain level of tentativeness. I felt like I could hear his voice too, of wanting to make sure you're not saying the wrong things. And that can really interfere with you being able to say the right things. I always go back to, and if you watch any of my content, you know, like, one of my favorite calls in recent memory was Nigel and Ian during that Bullet Club Gold and FTR match that was on Collision that went like 59 and a half minutes or whatever. And part of what was so fun about it was the two of them were just freaking out the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, they did such a good job doing commentary through it, but they were also so excited. And Conan was, like, distractingly low energy. But what was cool about this was what you just said. Like, Corey Graves got to shine. And in addition to doing the play-by-play really well, he was also trying to guide Conan along. You'd hear by, like, asking him certain questions. And he also had the responsibility of educating an American audience to a product they don't normally watch, which is really challenging. So just shout out to him for one of my favorite commentary performances that he's ever done. And I'll also just say up front, like, very excited to talk about this. Not at all familiar with AAA, like, not going to pretend I am as we go through this. But I also felt like the presentation was really refreshing to not have so much crossover, like the amount of breathing room of not like, this is sponsored, this is sponsored, this is sponsored, Wheatley's commercial, Wheatley's commercial. Like, really, really refreshing to just get to watch some great wrestling that wasn't inorganically interfered with. And I felt like that made this viewing experience so fun. And honestly, just being able to turn it on YouTube and just watch it on YouTube was nice. Really, really nice. So some big advantages before we even talk about the matches and the talent on the show that I felt like lent itself to a really nice viewing experience. So that kind of ruled.
Rival Garcia saying, I was disappointed in the commentary, but I realized it could have been worse. We could have had Stryker and Vampiro. They were not a good duo. I missed the air horns, but thumbs up show overall. Yeah, I would say two thumbs up for me.
Luis said that the Spanish commentary was outstanding. So
yeah, and I can only assume.
What part of struck me too was like, Spanish speaking commentators are known for being so high energy. And then Conan was just like, he was apologizing for being on air a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a lot of fun. I will confess to thinking that the show started an hour later than it did. So I'm still getting over a cold, and I needed to get a nap in before watching two shows and reviewing two shows today. So I got a little nap in, and I woke up, what I thought a half hour before the show was to start, and it was already a half hour into the show. So I knew there wouldn't be so many Wheatleys, oh good, I drink it neatly. So I knew I would have to catch up in fits and starts, and was worried about it. So I don't know what Rey Mysterio said, but it's good to see him walking around after that surgery about a month and a half ago. Good to see him. I don't know what he said, but I'm assuming it was very uplifting to the audience.
It was uplifting and just a nice way to contextualize what this is for probably largely an American crowd tuning in and what you would expect of like contextualizing Lucha Libre and talking about the roots of AAA, but doing so authentically because he's someone that can, right? Like where he started and where he ended up. Rey Mysterio is such a trailblazer in that way for helping lead Lucha Libre onto American television. So it was really nice, and it was just nice to have his narration with video packages and stuff like that with all of this. So they had a nice mix of the right additional presences that would be familiar to an American audience at this show. I felt like
Ryan Cicchini starts us off. We needed Mr. Iguana on NXT 2.0 television. Like the NXT 2.0 product could have only been enhanced by Mr. Iguana and of course La Yesca. The first match was indeed Mr. Iguana, Octagon Jr. and Aerostar versus two of the Legado of the LWO boys and Lindsay Dorado back, former Lucha House Party member who was released, then brought back quietly and did some stuff on Evolve, I think. He's been in mostly a backstage role in the PC. But this is his first like major WWE thing since they brought him back, to the point where I remember hearing they brought him back to do backstage stuff. And then it had been so long and I hadn't heard anything about him since that when they announced Lindsay Dorado was going to replace the injured Joaquin Wilde, I was like, they re-signed him just for this? And then I remembered. And it was always nice to see Lindsay Dorado back. He did almost all of the work with Mr. Iguana. So, of course, he got the best part because at one point he was very tired of La Yesca biting his hand. So he beat the hell out of La Yesca, dropped an elbow on him, and then did a Spanish fly to La Yesca. And if you don't know who La Yesca is, I mean, do you even Lucha Libre? But La Yesca is a hand puppet.
What? Like
stuffed animal thing.
He's real.
Apparently he's a real iguana, I'm being told. Now, I'm being informed. I'm hearing from our producers that, in fact, yes, La Yesca is, in fact, a real iguana. No, he's not. He's the little hand puppet. A lot of really fun stuff with Mr. Iguana, with Lindsay Dorado's reactions to it. This is always been a major part of Lucha Libre in Mexico. is characters like this. The silly stuff in Lucha Libre is always to a point where it verges so far into the absurd that even I can't be upset at it. You know what I mean? Because when you become this absurd, all of a sudden you've teetered over the edge of bad comedy into good comedy again. And this
sure.
Spanish fly to the hand puppet was probably my highlight of the night. So,
an unbelievable piece of cinematography after this too, because you saw the standing fly.
Yes,
and you see Lindsay Dorado kind of like leering toward the camera, not directly, I don't think.
Yep.
But then there's the shot of Mr. Iguana just looking at him like he killed his son, and the drama of that was beautiful done. It was funny as I was watching this, and as I expected, the chat stream, which I never keep open because they don't moderate these things for AEW or WWE, but just we want truth, we want truth, where's our truth, we want truth, like crazy. And I was like, I'm pretty sure TKO could pay off the rest of their debt if they did Mr. Iguana versus R-Truth or had them as a duo of some sort. But shout out to people continuing to make their voices heard on that, because we've heard chants at both taping since and largely in the chat today. That was super fun. Like, this was a very, very fun showing, and felt like the right way to start us off. Like, really action packed, really kind of settled you in for what was to come the rest of the day. I like that they started with this a lot, and you're right, that was the show stealing spot of the night. It was so much fun. Lindsay Dorado looked great too. Like, he looked like he hasn't lost a step. I don't know how much he's been wrestling like on the indies with his deal or how fresh he's staying, but he didn't miss a beat stepping back into it. This was really fun, and I loved how much the crowd was here for just big spots in the in-ring, and then also the incredible drama that came with that spot. It was fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Great high-flying action.
Yeah, I like this a lot. Everybody got a chance to show out. They really partner everybody up really nicely. Almost exclusively for the first half of the match. When this guy was in, his counterpart was also in. They did some really good stuff here. I one of the things I did like that Conan did add was calling attention to how Cruz del Toro, the former Raul Mendoza, was doing fantastic work. He always, because that's how he was presented, he always felt like the other guy.
Yes,
the third guy in all of this stuff, the lowest on the totem pole. And I've always known that he's fantastic. When they really let him show out, he's amazing. So he got to do some really good stuff. Of course, Dragon Lee is great. Aerostar is an absolute veteran of this thing. He did some crazy stuff back in Lucha Underground. But Octagon Jr. was the guy they put the spotlight on. He's the one who got the pin. The AAA guys got the victory. At ringside for this match was Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. Crowd did not seem to, they're like, yeah, boo.
They didn't bite. Down. Yeah. It was interesting to me. Like, I like gauging that stuff. What different crowds are.
That's a pretty, that was a pretty big crowd, around 11,000. And the boos were a smattering. But he got a mic after the match started talking crap. And so Octagon attacked him. And then he got the mic back and said, you and me tonight at Money in the Bank. And I'll make sure I put this title on the line. And I mean, I know it's really not about that on this particular review, but that's some dirty ass work to go into the day of the show with four matches on the card and then add a fifth one a few hours before to make it an even five, when there was such a discussion of like, is four now the benchmark for WWE PLEs? Like, five we already thought was way too little. And usually the Money in the Bank matches aren't an hour long a piece. How many Wheatley so good I drink it Wheatley are we going to get if they're going to only stretch four matches into that long? They're like, okay, just kidding. Here's an extra match, which should be a lot of fun. But we'll have to see just how much interference goes into making Dominic Mysterio beat Octagon Jr. tonight for the Intercontinental title.
I mean, certainly it should be noted. I think everybody was rightly critical of AEW for their lack of women's wrestling. I know you were. I appreciate it on the Dynamite post show of having 16 minutes of women's wrestling in 4 hours. But of note, none of the women's world titles are being defended tonight at Money in the Bank. Not Tiffany Stratton, not Io Sky, who has had nothing to do. And of course, the tag titles are going to get defended? Of course not. Nope. So I'm glad that they made a fifth match, but I feel like not a great week for women's wrestling screen time across the board. So don't love that. Like that they set this up. Them not biting at Liv and Dominic didn't feel like they weren't interested in Dominic as much as it felt like, oh, the camera's on them. What are they going to do or say? And then nothing. Right. And they were like, oh, okay. Like it's interesting to see the expectations of crowds as far as presentations goes. So that was cool. I love that kind of stuff, and we'll see how they adapt on things like that moving forward.
We will. So that was really well put together. And we got the women with Stephanie Vaquer, who was put into this match before she lost her title and then lost the title. And now she is going for a shot at another title later tonight. I believe there was, did we have a thing that was the, this was the, did we get the, no. Yes. I thought I saw one. No, maybe I missed it. Oh, here we go. Ryan Adams says, I feel bad for Stephanie. Go through hair and makeup, wrestle, travel, go through hair and makeup again, ladder match. The traveling, I feel like, isn't necessarily as big of a deal because it's like a mile away. But
she has an extensive presentation.
She does indeed. The thing of this is that they did a very good job of having her work the least by far.
Yes, and they
got in. She did some stuff. Dalis, being a high flyer, powerhoused her way out of the Devil's Kiss. And then Stephanie tagged in Lola Vice, who was in for the Face in Peril stuff. I will say to Lola Vice, I think it's very possible that you feel like there is a need on a random episode of Tuesday NXT to assert the fact that you are indeed a woman of Latin American heritage before you put your butt in somebody's face. But on today of all days, when most of the people here are also of Latin American heritage screaming, I'm a Latina, before putting your butt in somebody's face, I feel like might be unnecessary and even a bit redundant. But she did a fantastic job in the match, did a lot of really good stuff. But then she ended up tagging in Stephanie Vaquer, who hit a few of her moves, including the Devil's Kiss, which is now forever the Booker T. Here's the thing, though. I don't even know if they were chanting for the move in this particular. Maybe they were just chanting for the company. They were just going, That's something. They were just chanting for the company slowly. Maybe that's it. Just did it
three times. That would have been perfect, honestly.
That's good. That's right.
Good job. I agree with you wholeheartedly. A really good job by the match agents in this to make sure that Steph was protected, because she doesn't just have another match later tonight. She has a ladder match later tonight.
A six-woman ladder match. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. So I like that. They allowed her to look great. She got a great reaction from the crowd too, which was nice to see. Like, she was kind of one of the biggest stars of the night. Like, it was cool to.
Oh, for sure. She's hugely over.
Yeah. It was fun to see like that homecoming stardom feel. Like that was really cool. That was really cool. So I'm very happy about that for her. And this match was really fun. I don't pretend that I am familiar with the other people on the side of this coin, Chica Tormenta, which is a fantastic name, by the way.
Great name.
And Dalis, you know, high flyers just like you and me, but not at all. Like in sincerity.
Yeah.
I will say, like, if you get a controlling stake in your company, you have to do a better job at things like that. You are a $1 billion company. You can have an intern go through and watch some matches and gain some knowledge about people's ring styles. So we joke about it, but I would sincerely like them to make more of an effort on that side.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Understand that, I mean, they said it about Penta on air. So to me, when you do that a couple of times, it says, this is how we view the art of Lucha Libre entirely. That was not what any of the women in this match were. I wouldn't say any of them were high flyers.
No. Lola's a striker, and Stephanie Vaquer is a grappler, and the other two women are big, thick, powerhouse brawlers. There was not a high flyer among any of them. So to try and do that is.
This was a match that Corey Graves, I think, also really shined on, actually, as well, when we were talking about how great he was tonight. Like, covered the action really well, but did a great job bridging the gap between, like, I felt like what was cool, actually, was that it was a lot of similarities between Lola Vice's style and the other side, right, with Dalis and Chica Tormenta. So, I liked the way he kind of reminded everybody of what this actually was. I also laughed because when I saw that bio of Dalis as a high flyer, I mean, maybe 2 minutes later, once I saw that show up in my timeline again, Conan goes, well, she's not a high flyer. Mm-hmm. So that popped me tremendously, but some really fun work done in this. And I was glad to see the way this match unfolded, because it feels like something really different and fresh in the Lucha Libre world, and stood out on the card as having something that was an entirely different flavor. So I thought this was super fun.
Yeah, I thought so too. Obviously, Stephanie getting the win, I think, is the smart thing to do. She's going to be a huge star. She's definitely going to show out tonight. I think the absolute sky's limit for her, how talented she is and how over she is immediately, and how much they can branch out into Central and South America with her star power. It would be foolish of them to stifle her in any way on the main roster. We say that about a lot of people, though, and yet they still do it. But with her, I feel like she could be another Rhea Ripley for them. Gigantically over if they just don't get in her way. She's
and to their credit, so far they haven't. Like, she
so far,
she came in the same time as Julia and Zarya, and a really organic connection with the crowd built. And they just kind of let that happen. I hope they continue to, but I don't think I didn't even see it coming. Yeah. I knew she was a phenomenal wrestler, and I know she's incredibly cool. I didn't realize how quickly the crowd was going to be like, oh no, she's it. Like, we want her, like, pretty immediately.
Yeah.
Pretty
immediately. Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to hit some super chats?
I do. I wanted to, Luis pointing out that Tormenta confronted Tiffany at ringside after hitting a lariat on Lola. That's a real wrestler, always working. See what we can get a little match going, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. Also in the crowd, though, we had Latin Lover, Negro Casas, Mascarita Sagrada, Luis saying he's not sure if he's the OG or the new one. The new one happens to be the former El Torito, who we know from the WLC match. That was also the Street Profits. Tiffy was there.
Luis learned something.
Savio Vega, Chavito Guerrero, Damian Priest, Blue Demon Jr., who was also in the opening ceremony. So yeah, there's a lot of people who were at ringside for this thing, which was good. Let's see. We also got some greetings from our people.
We did.
Just Ricardo says, greetings, Sour King and Queen. Hello, lovelies. Yes, by the way, the Sour King and Queen of the Ring will be happening soon. There will be somehow a fatal four-way, which leads into the tournament, which isn't really a tournament, but that's fine. William Powell
Sour
says,
Sour King and Queen of the Ring is something we should hold, and we're just facing ourselves in every bracket.
Yeah, facing ourselves. William Powell says, Kate's great big glasses are back.
They're here, baby. They're here. I'm trying to work them into rotation more. I stare at screens so much during my day that contacts are not always ideal. But they're here, and they're here to stay, my friend.
Oscar Lopez says, as a Latino, this is probably the best time to be a fan of Lucha Libre. AAA guys finally getting their flowers, and the CMLL AEW show not too far out. Extremely happy for my people. Yeah, it's you forget about the other part of it, that like the nationalistic pride that the Mexicans take in their Lucha Libre, their version of this, and why we hope it doesn't get incredibly co-opted by WWE is because the people in Mexico deserve to have their style of wrestling authentically portrayed and not, you know, turned into something else. And I will say, today is a really great sign that they don't plan on changing it that much. Like, that they want it to be as authentic as possible and great, and they're not, we didn't see one like crazy distraction or DQ or the numbers game. We didn't say any of that stuff. It was just really good wrestling and stuff like that.
So refreshing as an American viewer. And you're right. I think both in presentation and in booking, the other thing you worry about is that one, right? All of the WWE people are going to go over and none of the AAA people are going to go over. Like it was well booked tonight. It was presented properly and it was balanced properly, meaning like Ethan Page came in with the title, he left with the title, Vikingo, spoiler alert, wins. So I appreciate that both in the way it was presented felt respectful and authentic, and the booking wasn't a trouncing of WWE talent over AAA talent. I will also say that as an American viewer, it was very refreshing to watch from the American side, just a product with great wrestling. Yeah. Clean finishes,
larger
not
than life characters,
by sponsors.
Incredible athleticism. This is what
better themes. What,
yeah.
My goodness.
As Jeremy Lambert tweeted, I don't know how I'm supposed to know who these people are if their catchphrase and or their name being said slowed way down is not part of their theme song. You know what I mean? Like, how do I know Mr. Iguana? Maybe, you know, like, if that doesn't
Iguana.
Happen. There you go. Kim Gray says, shout out to Lillian for announcing and Vero Rodriguez for interviews. Yes, did very good stuff.
Yes. Fantastic.
Orion Ben says, hi fam, the only thing deader than U.S. men's national team was Conan. It was not doing too well. But Luis says, Spanish commentary, Roberto Figueroa, Jose Guillen from AAA, and Marcelo Rodriguez from WWE were friggin' awesome. That's like 5, 6,
six O's in awesome.
Luis just, he always copies my knowledge on this product. You know what I mean? He yeah. never has an original thought for himself. No. He's, yeah,
we
he's
all know about
parroting us.
And Rafael Garcia says, I need the four-way of La Yesca, Head, Mr. Sacco, and Daryl the Cat yesterday.
Ooh. You're not wrong.
No, it's going to happen.
You're not wrong.
I mean, the thing we could definitely have now, it's really, it's not, you could do this on NXT on Tuesday. Mr. Iguana and La Yesca versus Santino Marella and the Cobra.
100%.
Just do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The War of the Reptiles. Like, just
oh
do
my
that.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Get it done. Come on.
It's perfect.
Time's a wasting. So there was also a history of AAA video package that they put together. Yes. And a few things left out, a few things changed, according to Luis. Because you never can tell with these, when they just said, okay, here, you don't know anything about this, so you're going to accept whatever we tell you as fact. I always go, I should Google this. Anytime, like, I am being told something that I know nothing about by somebody who has a stake in whether or not I believe them, I always just, so I did think the way that they portrayed this with, Antonio Pena, who mm-hmm. started AAA, was that he worked for the biggest and longest lasting promotion in Mexico, CMLL, and he left there and started his own and he wanted it to be more high flying and fun and bigger characters and stuff like that, which is really ironic that WWE is CMLL in this analogy, and AAA is AEW in this analogy. That is ironic to me, but I think it's a perfectly regular, like, it makes sense as a story for, like, why this would have taken place and how they've been around for 5 years. They've been around since 1992, and they are a major force, but they have fallen on hard times in recent years. And so this kind of a move being bought out is not necessarily unexpected by people who follow their financials and stuff. But this was a really interesting little history lesson into how there was a split from CMLL and how this came about for people who are American wrestling fans who know the names of these companies, know that they are rivals, even know that one of them is bigger than the other, but don't necessarily know the actual history of how AAA came about. I thought this was an actually fairly effective little tool.
Yes, and I made a lot of jokes on here, but sincere shout out to Luis, who has done such a great job helping me and Alex out contextually, also leading the charge for Fightful Espanol, because right now it feels like it's kind of as important as it ever could be. So thank you to him for not only his knowledge, but like his authentic passion behind what he's doing. So those were a couple of things. I knew that there was a split and that creatively they went in different directions. That's part of why certain talent left too, according to Luis, and from also what I was able to gather from the zeitgeist. And I was aware too that there were some financial issues, not that far off, honestly, from what I've heard with TNA. Like, there's it's not easy to run a wrestling show in the financial landscape right now. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, if your times aren't hard enough,
if you're watching this, you have probably considered becoming a pro wrestler at some point. Well, let me tell you, I got your gimmick and I got your gimmick. Here's your gimmick name, Rock Hard Eric Shins. And your gimmick is Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Same approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but you don't want those. You don't want those. You want Blue Chew. It's chewable, gets into your system a lot faster. It's ready when you are or when you're not. Maybe you need that motivation. Maybe you need that step up in performance. Or maybe you just want a little bit of additional confidence. Take an online questionnaire with a physician. And when approved, it arrives straight to your door. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping, because that first shipment is free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Mailman's not going to know what's up. the nosy Nellies around your neighborhood aren't going to know what's up. But let me tell you, that special someone's going to know what's up. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Feels good to be back. You know what I mean?
Do we lose me or do we lose Kate? Am I gone or is Kate gone?
You're,
Kate, are you? Why aren't you here?
For me, you're here, but very blurry.
I don't know if that's me or that's Kate. It's possible it's me.
Is Chat, who is it?
There you are. Hi. Is it me? It's both of us? Now I can hear you. So now, good. That's fantastic because I could not see Kate for the longest time, but now she's back.
You became blurry and choppy to me, but now we're here. We're rocking and rolling. Over 5,000 of you are tuned in now, so I'm going to do what I did at the beginning of the show and say, in your super chats and humper chats. I'm going to say, subscribe to Fightful Select, best $5.99 in the biz. A story went up there about how certain letter spots might be answered. So if you liked the organic, not overwrought by sponsors presentation of this, probably a very different viewing experience tonight. But also you get Alex and I behind the paywall doing alternative post-shows for anything we're not doing on the main, which is usually NXT, though we are going to have the AEW All-In post-show. So that's exciting. And there's a Discord server to hang out in there. We also do have a new online betting sponsor that we're going to talk about in a little bit, but Sean will drop Underdog Lock Picks in that Discord that's on there. So if you want to make some money, if you want to pay off your Fightful Select subscription on the yearly rate and in one betting spree, you might be able to with our friends at mybookie.ag, which we're going to talk about later. But plenty of scoops for you back there behind the paywall. The news about Karrion Kross not being approached about renewing his contract yet also went up there earlier this week. Plenty, plenty more at FightfulSelect.com. Also, please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Closing in on 179,000 subscribers. You guys have been incredible of late with the subscription. So please do keep that headed in the right direction. We appreciate it so much. Grapsity happened earlier today on this YouTube channel. I did a solo SmackDown review, which very few circumstances. I'm not like, Alex Pulaski, please come join me. But we made it through it in like an hour. I had a massive headache, but you guys stuck with me. So thank you. I went back and watched your review today and we have similar things in the brain. I'll tell you what, because I was listening to my review and I was like, or listening to your review and was like, yeah, I was bothered by Jeff Cobb being pinned by a schoolboy roll up too. I was annoyed by the kendo stick spot too. So we've given each other our idiosyncrasies over time, especially on the receiving end from Alex. But Grapsity earlier today, Sean doing a solo show on the main tonight for Money in the Bank, but Alex and I behind the paywall for Money in the Bank. So hang out with us out there. But we appreciate your support however you want to show it. You guys have been awesome with the chats today. We got plenty more going on. So keep those coming, but stay tuned. It used to be like WrestleMania season was really busy, and now it just feels like it kind of never stops with the way WWE's counter programming and stuff too. Like it's just, we have a lot of shows, a lot of weekends with multiple shows on them. So stay tuned for all of it. Cause we got you covered.
We got some very good stuff from the Legado del Fantasma, the interview with him
beforehand,
and then the video package.
So good.
You look at these guys and you go, oh, just literally. That's how small of a push you would have to give them for them to be gigantic stars. Just a little nudge. A little nudge in their gigantic stars, especially Santos Escobar. You look at these guys; they look fantastic. And Santos is a huge, huge star in the making. Angel Garza is amazing. Humberto Carrillo is like those dimples, the athleticism. It's kind of a crime how they haven't been utilized to their best abilities. But oh no, now we did lose Kate. This isn't my fault now. I didn't do this. This is Kate. Kate did this. Kate's gone. But she'll be back, I'm assuming. I can only assume.
So yeah, Kate just decided she was gonna leave. She said adios. But Legado del Fantasma took on the trio of Psycho Clown, Pagano, and El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., which of course just means Dr. Wagner the Third. His grandfather was his father was a doctor. His father's father was a doctor. So he had only one choice growing up. You will also be a doctor. This is the way it is in so many households. You just have to follow in your family's footsteps. But seriously, a big star, everybody in, he's a, the lineage of the Dr. Wagners stretches back decades. And they really treated him as a big deal. Obviously, Psycho Clown and Pagano are two larger-than-life characters, are just doing really fun work in this. The Legado del Fantasma boys really, it looked like they were genuinely having so much fun being able to show out like this, because even though that the Los Garza, Angel and Berto on SmackDown have been having good matches, it always feels like they're the ones who take the pins the most often. When they have these matches, they're looking amazing, but they always end up losing them on SmackDown. It's part of this new fledgling SmackDown tag division that's burgeoning over there. But you could tell they were having so much fun doing this match. I assumed they were going to lose this match too, because they lose almost every match. I was very happy to see Santos Escobar get a pin over Dr. Wagner the Third, but I was not anticipating it. I was not saying that's something that's definitely going to happen. I honestly, I thought it was zero chance they would win this match, and yet they did. Santos got the pin after there was a big, huge spot on the end. Yes, Luis pointing out Pagano's back bump off the senton was looked really unfortunate, but this was a really fun 6-man tag again, with the Rudos taking it over the Technicos. I do know a little bit of the lingo, but I thought. I think that the way that they used Legado here makes me think that if there is going to be like more AAA stuff on the network or on YouTube or whatever, that Legado might be used heavily there. They might be sent over to AAA and done a lot of stuff. So apparently, yeah, Los Garza is going to challenge for the AAA tag titles next week, and Luis expects them to win. So that's a really good thing for them. The current holders the current holders, Luis is writing this out, so I'm reading it to you now. So okay. Los Garza becoming the AAA tag champions would be really cool for them, and really good for them as a whole. I would like that, because I didn't really want them to break up and Berto to like go over and be hang out with Andrade just to like get random tag matches out of it. I think there's a better way of utilizing them that way. The current holders have a situation that could stop them from being in WWE. Yes, so. This is going to happen. There have been a lot of times now in AEW where Rey Fénix was having visa issues and couldn't get to the States for a couple of things. And
it's very possible now with the way that this country is currently handling visas, it's very possible that there will be certain people from AAA that won't be able to come to the States to work at, on any given date because of some random thing. And so you're going to see stuff like this more and more often. Anyway, yeah, Los Garza winning the AAA tag titles would be pretty cool. I did think it was a really great use of all of these guys. Again, everybody got to show out, but Santos getting the pin on Dr. Wagner is not something that I had in on my bingo card. Ryan Cicchini saying WWE wanted Wagner Render the Third. Wouldn't be shocked if him and Santos have a feud in AAA or on WWE programming. Yeah. I mean, I think it could be a really good use for Santos. Make him a star if you're make him a star in AAA or NXT Mexico, whatever they're going to end up really using it for. Make him a star there rather than making him sit on the bench on SmackDown. So we will see. We'll see. My match of the night, simply because I can't get over a stupid thing that isn't even part of the match for the main event, which I'll talk about, and hopefully Kate will be here to counterbalance me. Ethan Page, Rey Fénix, Laredo Kid, and Javon Evans. This was a fantastic Fatal 4-Way. A fantastic Fatal 4-Way. I really, really, really loved it. Ethan Page did a great job being the not high flyer of the group. Figuring out a way to ground it whenever he could, hitting big bombs on people whenever he could. Laredo Kid got a chance to show out. Rey Fénix got a chance to show out. But Javon Evans was blowing everybody out of the water. That guy gets way, way too high on stuff, man. He's crazy how high he jumps, how far he goes. That kid. Now, I know it didn't fully connect, because if it had, you'd be seeing it on replay over and over again, even right now, hours after it happened. That kid did a springboard front flip coast to coast. I'm going to say that again. He put Laredo Kid in the Tree of Woe and then did a springboard front flip coast to coast. That's insane. I don't know what that's a crazy thing. He apparently barely missed it, but he got really close to it. I bet you if he tried that again, he'd hit it over and over again. Aubrey and Dad Talk Wrestling. Thank you, Aubrey and Dad, for being here. We love Aubrey and Dad. Javon Evans was the MVP of that match. He was fantastic. So good. The giant, dived to the outside, followed immediately by that huge front flip thing, man. If he hit it, Laredo would be dead. There you go. If he had hit it, Laredo would be dead. So it's a pretty good thing that he missed it, even though he didn't really miss it. What I honestly loved about this, the finish of this, was excellent. With Rey Fénix hitting a huge Ego's Edge. And then a huge Ego's Edge. Javon Evans breaking up the pinfall on the Ego's Edge. Then he hits his crazy springboard cutter thing on Laredo Kid, but he was going for Ethan Page, who got out of the way. Ethan Page then immediately picks up Rey Fénix after the Ego's Edge and the pinfall being broken up. He rolls to the outside. Ethan Page takes Javon Evans immediately after that springboard cutter, throws him, shit cans him out. But the best part about it was he shit canned him directly into the face of Rey Fénix standing there waiting, effectively taking both guys out with one move, allowing time to hit the twisted grin on Laredo Kid and get the pin. Ethan Page did a great job here. This was one of the better matches I've seen Ethan Page have. The WWE agented fatal four ways or whatever that I've seen Ethan Page be in, where he wins matches by being knocked out and falling onto somebody's shoulders and stuff. This didn't have any of that crap. This all made sense. It was really well put together. I liked it a lot. I really think that there's a lot of good stuff you can do with Ethan Page anchoring the upper mid-card of NXT for as long as they choose to keep him there. And if he were to be brought up as soon as, let's say, a week from Tuesday, because he's got a title match he's got to defend against Sean Legacy on Tuesday, if he loses that and they bring him up, he'll absolutely be good enough to swim and not sink on the main roster as long as they don't book him too poorly. Really, really good stuff. Knocked Out Film says, imagine if that was when he first won the title. We look at Ethan Page entirely differently if they had just used him correctly from the very beginning. I was so excited when Ethan Page came to NXT and they immediately did some really poor stuff with him. And I'm so happy that he's being utilized correctly now. Are we back? Are we back? We good? No, this is not good. Oh, no. Kate? Hello? Oh, you were laggy? No, not now. You're buffering. Oh, no. I'm gonna remove her from the thing, and then she can figure out something before she comes back. Unfortunately. All right. Okay, so I will say this. The main event. The AAA Mega Championship, Vikingo versus Chad Gable. It's your first time watching Vikingo. That's how impressive he is. He's that. He's always that. He's great. So, Chad Gable.
Okay, I'm back for real. Sorry.
Oh my God, that's crazy. How did you do that?
Sorry. So Northeast, we had 2 days of really hot weather, and then we had rain today. And I guess that's not like a great combination for internet companies. So we didn't have like a full outage, but we did have you're gonna have to restart all your crap stuff. So we are still back. Kind of fun to go vintage and revisit my potato router, but.
Put the hamster back in the wheel, internet companies. Let's go. Okay. I apologize that we had to breeze over two things you didn't get a chance to talk about. How did you feel about Santos getting the pin in their thing? Apparently, Los Garza is on track to become the new AAA tag champs. And also, what did you think of this Fatal Four-Way for the North American Championship before we get into the main event? I want your thoughts on the things.
So thank you for letting me talk about it, because I really liked both of them. I feel like we talk about swings and misses a lot, right, with WWE and with AEW, and sometimes we talk about swings and misses in the context of talent on the entirety. Sometimes we talk about certain moments or storylines, but I feel like the underutilization of Santos Escobar is something that a lot of people agree with, and seeing him actually get to show what he's capable of doing tonight was so refreshing, because he's such an incredible talent, and all of Legado is great. I don't mean to take away from it, but when we talk about what a complete star is in pro wrestling, like, I just feel like Santos Escobar is so that. And we had talked about it in our DMs, like, when was the last time we saw Santos Escobar get a pin on anybody? And it's been way too long. He was also just not like in action for a while. I don't know any details about that, so I'm not going to speculate, but like, he is a complete star, and it's such a bummer to me that he was not in the mix for winning the US title because it doesn't feel like Jacob Fatu is giving that up anytime super soon. And now it kind of feels like if he does, it's going to be the Bron Breakker. So I just feel like I love Santos Escobar so much. And sometimes, Alex, when you and I review people that have come through NXT, I do like admittedly have a little bit of like an extra rooting for them thing, because I just want them to succeed on the main roster because the handoffs are so bad. But I thought this match was excellent. They felt very comfortable and at home. But when I watch Santos Escobar, I'm perplexed by why hasn't he been elevated to being a bigger star in WWE and in wrestling on the whole, because he's so excellent. And there's just all these little things that he does that give you such, when I say a complete wrestler, I mean, he has everything you want in ring wise. He has that intangible thing of being like so unbelievably cool with such effortlessness and such a poise that makes you believe he can really beat anybody. And I thought this match was a whole bunch of fun. I would love to see him get to expand his screen time in WWE. I would much rather him be doing this than not doing anything, certainly. Right. But I just feel like he's someone that the sky is the limit for if they decide to put the effort around him. Like, yep. If you are going to do more shows in Mexico and Spanish-speaking countries, like you were talking about, like strapping a rocket to Steph to be the one to lead that charge. Yeah. I really feel like if you just turn the volume off a little on Santos Escobar, you are opening the floodgates to a megastar here. Like, and I hope they do. I really hope they do.
I mean, I don't know how they would feel about it, whether or not certain talent would feel it as a demotion or whatever. But if AAA continues to like be a thing that TV is produced for, you know what I mean? And is actually a viable brand of some kind. For the mega championship, long term, Vikingo versus Santos Escobar as a feud that lasts a while. And you could have that go to Santos Escobar for a bit and have Vikingo be the babyface who claws his way back to the title. There's not much better that you could do for that, considering like all of the experience that Santos has as a TV wrestler in America and all that kind of stuff. And then after he does his little thing, he could step aside and let the other, I'm not saying that they have to do it forever. I'm saying that's a really great way of like getting American audiences who are used to Santos Escobar interested in seeing what that could be. If they watched this Vikingo match today and they say, okay, I'm obviously really interested in him. And instead of it being against another wrestler from AAA that they're not used to, if that's Santos, that's another thing that you could do. So
certainly I feel like I'm genuinely very nervous after seeing tonight's main event that we're going to get El Grande Americano beating Vikingo.
I mean, we won't talk about it. So I will say that I did do some research, and I do know the last time that I saw Santos get a pinfall victory.
I'm nervous to ask.
August 9th. August 9th of 2024 is the last time I watched Santos Escobar pin another man's shoulders to the mat.
Now, I will say, he also just wasn't wrestling for a long time there.
He wasn't.
But like 10 months for someone this
big. It's been too long for a guy that good. To not pin people.
I agree. Yeah. Unless he was out from September until last week, that is too long for someone this good. I agree. We've gone over a year now without Finn Balor having a singles victory on television. Like they have foregone wins and losses being an indicator of anything special. But Santos Escobar not getting a win in 10 months it's unacceptable, people.
That is, if you don't count battle royals, and like a Royal Rumble and the Andrade the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, that's just, you used to go back 5 matches. Five matches on television in 10 months.
Oof.
That's not enough. You need to have this guy wrestle more. Watch him today and you go, I don't want to have him wrestle on my television program. That's a bad decision by you.
Yeah, you're bad at that then. That's a bad
decision by you.
I feel the same way about, like, I said this yesterday on the SmackDown post show, like, we get these reports, right, that, like, WWE is so impressed by what Natty has done in her presentation as Natty Neidhart on the indies, and then they make zero adjustments on television about it.
Yeah.
So, like, what I don't want is to hear a bunch of reports about how they were so impressed by Santos Escobar's appearance and then to do nothing as far as expanding screen time about it.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the North American Championship Fatal Four Way?
I thought it was quite good. I felt like I was impressed by the reaction Javon Evans got, because not a lot of people that were like on the WWE side or whatever got really big receptions. He also, to his credit, came out with a bunch of energy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Laredo Kid, I got like a nice sampling of what he's able to do. He's been around, so like I've seen his work, but like tonight I thought was really fun, and I thought Ethan Page rotating was absolutely the right choice. He just won that thing. There's been enough weird things going on with titles at NXT. I laughed out loud when he said, "This is gonna suck for you guys," and his intro, he did his little smile and the camera was on him. He goes, "Oh, this is gonna suck for you guys." He got some really good heel heat at different points in this match. They did fall a little victim to the formula of how Fatal Four Ways can kind of go, and that it was like Ethan Page is playing possum in the beginning of this, or like out early from the beginning of this. But I had fun with this. I'm very intrigued to see like what we're going to get out of the Lucha Bros, if they're going to be on separate tracks or the same tracks. Because I think that might dictate a lot of what we get moving forward.
Yeah.
Like with Rey Fénix, because he's not on fire the same way his brother is, but I feel like if you put them together as a tag act,
his brother is on fire in that he is featured on television. There's zero chance he wins Money in the Bank tonight. He's probably not. He already had a bunch of chances at the Intercontinental Championship. They didn't put him over. They could push him.
Just by like,
he could be the Intercontinental Champion right now if they really wanted to push him. They don't. So eventually they're gonna say, okay, the singles run has run dry. We're now gonna put you with your brother, and then we'll see what the Lucha Bros can do as a tag team.
I meant more he's still getting insane reactions.
Oh, sure.
So not like he's still heavily featured from a screen time perspective.
Yeah.
You're right, and that in the IC title picture, it got muddy enough that he ended up kind of getting lost. Like his booking hasn't been very clear. But I'm wondering, is that because they need tag teams on Raw so freaking bad?
Right.
So is that the next move? I don't know. I had fun with this four-way. I felt like it was on in the right spot. I felt like it was well booked. There were some spots that just felt like there was a lot of, okay, and now you shine. Okay, and then you shine. Mm-hmm. And with a four-way, you need all that, but it also makes it a little hard to buy into, because it's like all four guys are never rocking and rolling kind of at the same time.
Right.
But I had fun with it, and I was glad Ethan Page retained. I was a little nervous, honestly, that they were going to do like a Javon Evans upset or whatever, but I felt like this was the right call, not only because I think it's the right call with the title, but I don't think you need to do that on a show like Worlds Collide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What did you think? I missed your thoughts.
It's my match of the night.
Because
I am me, and so I can't get things out of my head.
Sure.
So the main event was tainted, but it was great. The Javon Evans at least attempted and nearly succeeded with a springboard front flip coast to coast.
Yes.
At some point he's gonna die. He's gonna do like a if they did, here's the thing they could do with him. They could do, he would just do this. If you put the two rings next to each other, okay, and then took the ring ropes in the middle out, so like do a War Games match with the middle ropes gone. And then have a guy sitting on the announce table. And then have him just run and jump from, let's say, halfway through the second ring, he would just clear the dude on the table. Like, he's got springs loaded in his calves. I don't know how a guy that skinny has that kind of, like, the fast twitch muscle fiber of this dude is insane. His body needs to be studied by science. Like, it's crazy how far that guy can jump, how high he can jump. I don't know. He's one of those guys who does stuff increasingly crazier and more far-fetched. To the point where I'm like, this is the kind of guy we need to protect at all costs for the future of wrestling. Please don't do something so crazy that it like costs you a year and 5 months of your career. Like, please don't, like a thing of like what happened to Dante Martin. But instead of it happening in a ladder match, it's because I want to see how far I can jump. Oops. You know what I mean? Like I want him to be safe while also being incredibly fun to watch. And that's difficult to do.
It's a very insane balance to try and strike. I hear you loud and clear on that.
Okay. So Tim McFall says, hola SGS, fun show tonight. And holy poop, Legato won a match. Vikingo and Chad threw the gauntlet down. Time for the ladies and the Money in the Bank match to pick it up. This match judged solely on the merits of itself within the match is one of the best you'll ever see. A match of the year contender for sure. If this thing got, I mean, if let's say we did a thing with the Fightful Awards somehow and Will Ospreay split the vote with himself and somehow a dark horse candidate like this match were to win match of the year, I would not be surprised. It's a brilliant match. Wrestled impeccably with one weird thing that Vikingo tried to do in the corner where he tried to like somehow back his way between the turnbuckles and it didn't work. Besides that particular one little gaffe, everything in this match went off without a hitch, and that's difficult in a Vikingo match because he tries some stuff with a very high degree of difficulty. Amazing. Both guys showed out entirely. What an amazing example of athleticism, technical wrestling prowess, timing, storytelling, selling. Amazing. And I can't get the rest of it out of my head.
Sure.
You know, do you know how it is incalculable how much more I would have enjoyed myself watching this tremendous match if they had just never done the El Grande Americano stuff?
Sure.
And if they had also not done that, and the reason they didn't do that is because they did the right thing a year ago. And after Sami Zayn beat Gunther, you had Chad Gable turn heel, go full evil Kurt Angle, and take the Intercontinental Championship away from Sami Zayn sometime in the late spring, early summer. And go on an amazing heel run as this generation's version of the evil Kurt Angle character, where he was doing all of that stuff. And along the way, he lost the IC title, but he was still that type of dude as a character. Like, if you had done that, like this, I can't, this would be my match of the decade because of how much I loved Chad Gable before all of this stuff they've been doing now the past couple of months. I cannot separate Chad Gable from the thing that he is doing whenever he appears under the mask. I can't separate that. And so I watch this going, man, if you just didn't, then I could enjoy it so much more. I can look at it. I can compartmentalize and I can look at it as an objective thing of how great the match is, but I didn't enjoy it because there are people who are saying, like Junk Punch Hero says, based on the performance alone, Grande money in, is going to be the Money in the Bank winner. I saw people who were hypothetically saying if Grande were to win the Money in the Bank and then cash in on Vikingo at Triple Mania or whatever. And I'm like, I can't put it past this company to do something like that. And that kind of ruins all of this for me. But I am me, and that's, I can't stop my brain from doing
that. No, it's not just you. It's not just you. There's, I'm not a fan of the El Grande Americano thing either. Yeah. I don't think he's going to win Money in the Bank, but I think they'll find a way back to this. And it certainly concerns me that El Grande Americano will be able to do what Chad Gable couldn't. I will then also probably get a Julius Creed match versus Vikingo, which I can't like fully complain about, but that type of booking definitely concerns me. And I feel like they'll be like, well, we'll just do that on US television so we get the reaction we want instead of in Mexico.
Yeah.
This match was something that I think was actually really important to Vikingo's career, though, because he suffered some injuries that definitely affected his work after. And it's an unfortunate thing that happens in wrestling. Kenta's much older than Vikingo, but like, as an example, we saw Kenta in New Japan get a concussion and he just wasn't the same for like a solid year and a half. And I don't follow as closely, but I have not seen a Vikingo match show out like this from the stuff that I saw he was doing on TNA and a couple of other places. In a very, very long time. In a very, very long time. And Chad Gable, I think being just such a fantastic dance partner for him. I mean, the mix of styles was poetry in motion through this whole thing. Some of the ways that he was grabbing Vikingo into ankle locks was stupid. Like, just stupid and incredible.
So good.
Talking about targeting the back, talking about targeting the ankle, like... This was another one where I was like, can we get this Corey Graves all the time? Because he was so excellent in this as the soundtrack to it. But this match was everything that you wanted it to be, because it felt like both of these guys working to the highest potential of what they do. And then that mixing up and making magic of one of the best matches you'll ever see. And it was nice to see two guys who are capable of that get to be that. And it was, I think, a really big step forward for Vikingo in showing the extent of his capabilities, of how he's able to take his style and ground it in a pro wrestling context, not in a literal way, because that guy does his best work not on the ground in a lot of ways, but like it merged into Chad Gable's game really, really, really well today. And it felt like a wrestling match and not a display of athleticism, which is something that sometimes I love Vikingo, but like as an American wrestling fan, can fall into the trap of, and I'm not an anti-flippy-doo person, but I'm always entertained by it. When I can be entertained by it in a way that makes wrestling sense, yeah, it's on another stratosphere. It's high flying on its own. You know what I mean? So. Just a breathtaking wrestling match. I'll save you calling out spots. Just go watch it, because otherwise I'd be talking about the whole match. But the opportunistic style of Chad Gable getting mixed in with this were my favorite parts of just like, oh, that was a really creative way in and out of that.
Sure.
But those are my thoughts, and we've got to go watch Money in the Bank.
Yeah. We have to go watch Money in the Bank.
We do have chats to get through, though. I don't know if you covered them while I was...
As far as okay. I know, the ones that got put in the document, I definitely... Ryan Adams talking about us being high-fired. Did I do this one? People don't know, but Alex invented the 630 centime. That's how much of a high flyer I am, is that I invented the 630 centime.
That's how high-flying our post shows are, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. I think I got through all of these things. Thank you, Evil Diva, as a new member.
Yes.
So
that's awesome. Evil Diva is wonderful to us.
Just Ricardo saying, to be fair, AAA is already basically WWE. They do a lot of crazy stuff there. So
they do a lot of JBL's awesome. Outside interference. When you called out Jeremy's post from earlier, I thought you might have been mentioning this one of like, if you want the real AAA experience, JBL's got to interfere somehow.
Yeah, JBL has to do something. Yeah, so.
So, Really, and right. Really, really, really strong with both of those two matches.
Yes.
Really yeah. Excellent stuff. A blast of a show, free on YouTube. No mm-hmm. real commercials. Like it yeah. was a breeze to watch and a pleasure absolutely. To review, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. After Money in the Bank, Kate and I will be at behind the paywall, FightfulSelect.com, to do
I can't believe of I missed Aubrey and Dad Talk Wrestling in here. Hi,
yeah,
Aubrey.
They were here. Yeah,
I love when they stop in. Thank you guys for watching and enjoy Money in the Bank. We will be sour about it with you on Fightful Select. So come join us there.
Yeah. Until then, guys. Goodbye. Bye. Adios.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.